in perhaps, you know, the world's greatest sporting precinct, right in the shadows of one of the world's greatest cities.
I used to love the roar of the crowd.
Magnificent mark taken by Roy Carter.
A Viking is in the time. He gets inside, well inside. In any weather you will see a spooky grin. Listening head and skin, you're not really behind the chair.
Oh, Cochin, just a little bit of genius. We never
weak until the pilot. And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And we've said it before, winning is better than losing, but I'm not sure there's much more we would want to say about the Fremantle game this week.
Yeah, I tweeted during the game that it's not going to go down as an all-time classic, and someone tweeted back that if you ordered a copy of this game or named the game, you'd probably be a collector's edition because it'd be the only one printed. I'm not sure people still order Name the Game DVDs, but it was a nice line. The thing I felt that, and you know, I went back and look at the stats, and I can't fully back this up quantitatively, but just roll with me, Nick, for a second. I feel like we've seen this game before. I feel like if you're playing a road game on a wet day in the regular season, you couldn't do too much worse than having Damien Hardwick, and you're playing the game for your life. You could do worse than having Damien Hardwick as your coach, because he tends to win these games all throughout his time in Richmond.
Well, yeah, and particularly against this opponent as well. You know, I was actually reminded about how Fremantle in some ways try and play like us. Like, they had their moments where they were endlessly chipping the ball sideways and annoying their fans, and I was like, oh, so this is what it's like for the other team's supporters. They're trying to mix a bit of fast and slow play. I was also struck by the other than Connor Blakely, who apparently was the 2014 draft. The main choice was between Connor Blakely and Connor Menadue. You know, he's a pretty good young player, but I don't think I've ever seen a less impressive group of big men than what Freo trotted out on Saturday night. And I did wonder if the wet conditions may have actually flattered them, that they could have looked even worse. And the related thought I had to that was, you know, as old age has finally caught up with Matthew Pavlich, is whether or not the final stain of the Aaron Fiora sin is going to be forgotten.
Also, I did feel a bit sorry for Pav. I was texting someone whose wife is a mad Fremantle fan, and apparently sort of the accepted wisdom amongst Fremantle fans is that Pav plays poorly in the wet. Now, I'm not quite sure he plays quite that badly, and he was coming back from injury, but it was borderline sad how bad he was.
My note on the Rants versus Pavlich matchup was age is not kind.
No one likes to see a legend go out like that. But just like to the broader point of the game, like, you know, I agree with everything you said, but I think there is something like Dimmer is good at getting a team. Like, we didn't chip around and go, we would go sideways and a tiny bit backwards, but we were smart enough to adjust to the conditions to go down the line a lot more than we would normally. And we've, you know, if you go back to the Sydney game 2 years ago, you go back to the Adelaide game where we just got over them 2 years ago, we go back to a couple of West Coast games. I've always felt we're good at adjusting to the conditions in the wet, and we were doing that on Friday too, is that we are good at when we're recognising it's an arm wrestle and before the other team does, and changing our natural style of play and just saying, well, this week, fellas, it makes a lot more sense to, if in doubt, go down the line. And that's what we're doing. And in fact, my only frustration is that we didn't do it more. There were a few times when the players were keeping it in. You know, we kick it out from full back and we get it to about halfway. and we had no one in front of the ball, and our players were battling to keep the ball in, which is, you know, the right thing to do on a dry day, but on that day, it was the right thing was to let it go out and reset and let your forwards get forward and sort of restructure. But Fremantle were worse at it. So anyway, I felt like I've seen this game before, but you know, perhaps that's observation bias. Nick, unfortunately, the commentators ruined it by talking about too much during the time. But I think we have to acknowledge at this point that Cochin had his career high in disposals.
yes, he did. It was a pretty good game. Look, he was did well on the coaches' votes. I have enjoyed that Trent's playing better than he was at the start of the season. Dusty's playing better. Shane Edwards is playing better. Anthony Miles is playing better, like having lids back in the team. The midfield just has a breadth of contributors to it that makes the whole rest of the team look better. It doesn't feel like it's really firing on all cylinders quite yet, but it feels closer to its potential than it has.
Hmm. Moderately hot take. There was an interesting article in Hun this week about how Dusty's getting a lot more contested possessions, which we knew, but that he's sort of keeping up his meters gained, which is unusual.
Yeah,
and sort of the criticism of Cochin. So you've got a nice yin and yang going there. And I was rewatching the tape and the nice Miles Shark goal. Which was obviously...
Oh, that was beautiful. Yeah. That was such a classic Rovers goal.
It was, and, you know, in very important goal in the context of a low-scoring game. And the thought occurred to me, and it's not enough yet to fully form, but, you know, perhaps since, you know, Cochin going out and coming back, that they're all sort of, they're working together quite well at the moment. Now, it's basically one game.
Yeah,
but you know, that maybe there's something good developing there, a bit of synergy between the three that hasn't been there for the rest of the year. So, a bit of hope there. So, look, and they've got another game to consolidate a game before they play a real AFL team again. So, a bit of hope.
Yeah, no, I thought he wasn't hugely productive, but I thought Kane Lambert just came back in and looked like a senior footballer.
Looked fast and dangerous,
Yeah, I wasn't completely certain about him coming straight back in, but no, once he was there, it was like, oh yeah, no, he belongs. Happy with that.
So one of the interesting guys that I wanted to talk about was the commentators loved Sean Hampson's game, which was nice because Sean Hampson doesn't get a lot of credit.
That's one way of putting it.
So watching it live, I didn't think he was that good. And if you look at the stats, we sort of just won the, you know, we won the clearances, we won the contested ball, we won the hit-outs, but none of it was a dominating performance. And, you know, even though his opponent didn't get many, Hammer didn't have that many possessions.
Mm.
And Griffo was actually quite effective as a second row. Griffo had another good performance.
I did notice that, yeah.
So you sort of, Hammer was fine, but I'm really happy for him.
Fine,
but I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid.
He wasn't overwhelming, no.
I still think, to use a Nickism, I think he's just good enough to get you beat, but that's probably an improvement from where he's been in other years, so more power to him.
Yeah, look, I do... The input, it's always such a difficult question how important the ruck is when you see that Robert Campbell was a ruckman for Hawthorn in a premiership. But maybe the lesson of that is if the other 21 players are really good, then your ruckman doesn't really matter. But yeah, he was fine. Three contested rucks.
That's true.
It was a pretty fair effort.
He's definitely in Richmond best form.
Yeah, definitely. And the Frio had to resort to a fair bit of third man up, which was a sign that they were worried about it. But Yeah, it was fine, and he was. Look, it was what was interesting about it was that he was pushing around Zach Clark and Jonathan Griffin, who were sort of at varying stages have been touted as possible ruck options for us. And I came away feeling I'd rather Hampson than either of those. Like Zach Clark's career seems to be rapidly gone nowhere, and Jonathan Griffin is just another backup. So, yeah, I didn't know what else to take from it than that.
Since we don't have that much to talk about this week because there wasn't a VFL game, just let me ask you now, how are you feeling about re-signing him, Hammer?
Oh, I'd re-sign him on a one-year deal. I have actually wondered if... because it depends on who's genuinely available at the end of the year. But if there's not someone who's a clear upgrade available at the end of the year, and Ivan Soldo comes on and makes you think that he's a possible backup, then I could talk myself into a Hampson-Griffiths combination and, devote some of the resources somewhere else.
Yeah, because there's definitely the idea of re-signing him on the cheap unless he gets into the game, I think, is dead. Like, his form's good enough that it's sort of ruckman a bit like quarterbacks in the NFL, is that, at the end of, there's 5 to 10 of them who are really good and everyone wants, but not everyone can have them. And then at the other end, someone's... you might not like your starter very much, but if he's better than another team starter, well, you got to pay him or you're going to lose him.
I know, and look, because I'm a sad individual and I track other teams' backup ruckman, and it's actually a fairly thin year for other backup ruckman who are any good, right? When you're scraping the St Kilda VFL reports to see how Billy Long is going. You probably need more hobbies in life.
Yeah, so what else stood out to you from the game?
Well, I did... I'm wondering if we should just leave Ty Vickery at home rather than take him to Perth. So, 3 trips to Perth in a row, pretty much 0 output. I'm not... certain he needs a stint in the VFL, but I think he's maybe 1 week or one more poor performance away from needing a stint in the VFL.
Would be nice occasionally if the team got adjusted for the weather on the day. Controversial, the old school thing of dropping a tall for a small, but I appreciate.
I wondered about that, and it was actually the wind, because the conditions were. Pretty good. I was thinking that it's a million miles away from the wet weather football that we grew up with in children with mud players sliding through mud heaps. Like, there's still some value in to big players in those types of conditions, except for when the wind got really heavy. But yeah, it was interesting. Fremantle equally had they had 6 players above 195 centimetres. So.
Yeah, I don't think Fremantle were trying as hard to win as we were, to be honest. I do, for whatever it's worth, it's not really, it hasn't been our style for a long time to drop talls for smalls when the weather looks awful. Ty certainly did himself no favours.
No, and the spectre of McBean lurks both in the VFL and in my heart.
Yes. Apparently not very high on the coaching in the selection committee's minds, though.
No, he's still real to me, goddammit.
The plastic spoon race.
Yep.
In fairness, we should acknowledge that, and I'm just pulling up the stats, that both Morris and Hunt had quite high possession counts, 22 and 19. Frankly, I was just looking today, and it's only dream team points, so all caveats apply. That's not the be-all, end-all statistical output. But I made this point in previous years, but if you do look at Richmond, we are unique at having a lot of guys below 195 centimetres who get very low dream team output points per minute and also get a lot of football games. Like, there are other players in the AFL who get very low, who are smalls and get very low statistical output, but only Richmond has as many of them who get regular games. So it was nice that they had a game where they both contributed.
Mm. Yeah, I was trying to think about who I'd... Because I think both Corey Ellis and Daniel Rioli should come back in this week, and I think Jaden Short could probably use a spell. But, yeah, I'd rather drop Taylor Hunt, actually, but that seems harsh after 22 disposals and 7 marks, so it might be Connor Menadue, who perhaps again could use a rest after playing senior AFL football at about 70 kilos.
Yeah, well, you can never have too many 25-year-old players with no upside who help the structure, in inverted commas. Sorry, that's a bit too bitter after a win. Let's move on to a positive point. Who else? Sammy Lloyd again. I liked his game. I'm such a fan of Sammy Lloyd's. Just makes footy more fun.
And I do love when he's working really hard leading up the ground. When you combine that with the opportunistic goal kicking, that's the Sammy Lloyd who's a regular senior footballer for me, and that makes me happy to see that. Are you encouraged by Nick Vlosten having ticked up to 18 possessions rather than 15?
Oh, he's been around the 18-16 mark. I thought that was more...
consistently. Sorry, you go.
You know, you go.
Well, he's for his career, he's consistently been around 15, and I like having him in the middle of the ground. And as I've said before, I would like it even more if he was over 20 possessions, but it does feels like cautiously positive momentum.
I sort of read his game as much a true sort of a good lossy game where he played a lot in the back line, and I was actually going to note this earlier and I forgot, but I thought that was very much a return to form for our back line. Like, that was really Fremantle actually had more inside 50s, but you didn't notice it watching it because our back line looked so solid and well organized.
Oh, that was, yeah, we had the same number of inside 50s and we had 13 more scoring shots.
Yeah, thank you. And so that's the defence looked well organised, and obviously that's got a lot to do with the, as we discussed last week, the return of Grimes, and, you know, we're close to our best team in the back line. But Vossi sort of looked like a key part of a well-organised back line, but I've sort of seen that before, so that was very much good Vossi. So what wasn't the, it was good, it was a really good game, it was him and his best, but it wasn't the, I didn't see it as a step in the evolution towards a midfielder.
No, there were, yeah, you're right, he was mostly backline, there were still little bits of midfield, and maybe there isn't, with Koch and Bank, there isn't quite as many midfield minutes available. But
I think that's good. And Koch and Bank and Edwards playing well. And you're right. The midfield has changed a bit.
Shane Edwards playing well makes me happy. I know that's a completely common opinion, but it's just fun to watch.
Yeah, so was there anything else about the game you wanted to mention?
No, not really. I mean, it's, you know, Lockie Neal has been the subject of speculation, including some vague links to Richmond, and yeah, he was by far the standout Fremantle player on the night.
Yeah, 37 touches, 18 contested possessions, 9 tackles. Yeah, that's all right. Got a decent disposal effectiveness as well for someone who's out inside.
I know. I have wondered, you know, it's all off-season speculation time. This week there's been a bit more talk about us going after Prestia and not actually being interested in Michael Hurley. So it's, I don't know, it's a, you do have to take it all with a massive grain of salt, but you also remember that in some cases we were linked to players for quite a long time and they ended up coming to Richmond. So you never, you know, there's about 20 to 30... You never know. About 20 to 30% of the chatter is well-founded. You just don't know which 20 to 30% that is.
Yeah, and they never tell you afterwards. Never know afterwards. You know, when the room, when you get the rumor afterwards, oh, we were close, we were chasing that player and we didn't get him. You never know, is, did we make one phone call and the other team told us to go away? Or, you know, was it 98% done and then one little thing got in the road? So it's so hard to analyze after the fact what actually happened, unless it did happen.
Did we fail to offer Gubby Allen $250,000 to run our women's team?
Nice one. And in the end, not getting Cruel might have been a good thing, of course. I just point, picking up on a point we made last week, that Lids had more kicks than hand passes this week. So it's on the fitness, on the return of fitness.
I know, we're still waiting for a booming 55, 60 metre goal just to fully convince you that the quads are back. But no, he's tracking fine.
He is the Midas touch. The win loss record is so much better when he's in there.
It's incredible. Look, before we get to Essendon, just a few off field things. Announced today the KB will be the next player to have a statue outside the MCG. I mean, for me, it can only be the shot of KB with fists in the air. But yeah, this is.
I was just thinking that actually, it is the definitive KB. The definitive KB image.
Yep, absolutely. I did enjoy a stat. I think I saw it on Twitter. I think it was from Tone Greenberg saying that KB
fake Tone Greenberg.
Yeah, Tigerland Tone on Twitter, who isn't Tony Greenberg, so, along the lines that KB has the 10 highest seasons by number of kicks of any Richmond player.
Wow.
Insert joke about never handballing here.
Yes. I'm sort of ashamed that I didn't actually make that quite obvious pun that you set up for me.
Look, a little quick injury news this week. Nathan Drummond, just 13 months since his knee reconstruction, and apparently he's been cleared to return to the VFL this week. So, you know, it's just a good news story, I think.
Yeah,
everything you hear about rehabbing a knee reconstruction is that it's just grinding, boring.
And this one's quite obviously
like
worse
part of
than,
the team.
Obviously worse than normal because
it's been a tough injury to get over. Everyone speaks really well of him as a kid. They've extended his contract for next year as well, so that's a sign of good faith. So, and frankly, the idea of a fast backman with good endurance, capable of playing on opposition small forwards, that makes me happy.
Indeed. Yeah, so actually, I must admit, my Jim Miller, I can tell that a little bit of my love towards Richmond is coming back when I want to watch the VFL game, which I kind of do at the moment after a decent win the week before.
I know. I would really like to, with the VFL this week, Ivan Soldo had a concussion. But Ben Lennon had said concussions in successive weeks, so that's a... Yeah, that's a genuine concern.
So speaking of VFL teams, Nick, we're playing Essendon this week.
I know, and it is such a weird experience, like doing the normal opposition research that we do for Essendon, they are not anything like a normal football team, frankly.
No. Go on.
Well, just the funny age profile of guys like James Kelly running around.
Who, by the way, was there? It's fantastic. He was their leading possession getter last week. Like, I'm not even going to look it up. Let's just say he's 45 years old.
They've got James Gwilt, who was a feel-good story for St Kilda 7 years ago, and I have no idea what he's doing on an AFL list in 2016. Like, it is such a weird team.
I mean, to be honest, one of the things I've been looking forward to, one of the few things I've been looking forward to in this game is seeing Matty Deep. Because, Lord knows, I haven't been watching Essendon in their non-Richmond games. So I'll sort of be interested to see what he's doing with the opportunity he's getting.
Oh, no. 15 marks and 26 disposals last week. God bless him.
Yep. So that'll be a point of interest. But, you know, let's not beat around the bush. Essendon, if you look at percentage rather than the one win that they... that they've asked against the team we lost to, but it was still a nasty win. Their percentage is the worst in the AFL. They're the worst team in the AFL.
Mm. They are by far the most inefficient team in the AFL.
Get a lot of the ball.
Actually, they have the second most disposals of anyone. They have more marks than anyone. The second most handballs of anyone. And yet they... pretty much kick the least number of goals. Like, it's a massive amount of glorified circle work with the same lack of decisive outcome as a result.
I suspect I'm not the only one to point this out, but because I'm not following Essendon media, I don't know us. It's quite like Wish's early West Coast teams.
Huh. Yeah, that's not a bad point.
Anyway, so good on them. Like, obviously... you know, being so bad, I'm sort of forgiving them from the original sin of being Essendon. And, you know, they're sort of... it's interesting to see the sort of the few remaining fans that they've sort of embraced the bottom of the ladder, you know, clap the boys off for a good effort sort of style, supporting. So, you know, sort of... I'm actually finding it hard to dislike 2016 Essendon.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, look, it'll... As soon as they revert back to normal, I'll have no problem disliking them again. You sort of... it's just... And if we lose either of the games we play to them this year, it'll be a disaster, frankly. But we should... Like, we... Right now, our defence is playing well again. We should have no trouble kicking a winning score and hopefully... have a pretty big win.
I think, well, I have more confidence in us keeping them well below a winning score.
Yeah, that part of the equation I'm not worried about. Daniel Rioli kicking a couple of goals on at Dreamtime on the G. I mean, Daniel Rioli kicking goals I'm always up for, and I've watched his goals on replay more than a few times this season, but yeah. I'd enjoy it again.
Yeah, a bit of Ellis, a bit of Rioli magic. It would make the game eminently watchable. Andrew will set us up for the week after, because there'll be three wins in a row, theoretically, if we win. The week after, we play North Melbourne and Hobart. And, the Demons had trouble with the Scott brothers, if you want to, but we'll talk about that the next week.
Yes. Yes, he have. And I'm a... Call me sceptical on North Melbourne, but, yeah, if... Even if you think they're not quite as good as some of their press has made them out to be, they're still travelling better than us. So, yeah,
it'll be set up for a big game because we'll be coming off three in a row. So, yep, it'll be very. When this week ends, we're playing relevant football for at least 1 week. The week after, I'm Andy.
My name's Nick.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.
See you next time.